All right, so I am substituting for Mr. Brady today. Again, he's been working his way through 50 Baptists, you should know. And today, we're going to talk about George W. Truett, one of the most famous American Baptist pastors that we have had. He was the pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. I'll give you a little bit of his history. He was born in 1867. As his parents' seventh child, he grew up in his family's mountain farm in North Carolina. One of his brothers was deaf. And for his benefit, the family all trained themselves to over-enunciate all that they had to say, presumably so that it make it easier for him to read their lips. And this actually helped shape the speaking style of George Truett in his ministry. His dad made sure he was reading good books, one of which was Pilgrim's Progress. George was convicted of his lost condition at an early age, but kept putting off the decision to receive Christ. When he was done with his schooling, at only 18, he became a school teacher, beginning with 50 students. While attending a church service the next year, he finally gave in to the Spirit's conviction and trusted Christ as his Savior. He told his mother this the next morning, "I could draw back no longer from such commitment and confession. I answered the claims of Christ without any reservation, and afterward my heart was filled with great peace." When he was 20, he started his own school. Hiawassee Academy was a private Christian school in which George was a teacher and the principal. The student body soon numbered 300. And as a result of the strong Christian atmosphere, he was able to see many of his students get saved. In 1889, his family moved to Texas, and they joined a church there, and he was soon elected the Sunday school superintendent. It seemed like everything he did, he was just immediately successful. And of course, that's a big part of the story of his ministry. Soon after, he was ordained to the ministry. And at his ordination service, one of the worst men of the community actually attended. And as he preached and pleaded for souls, this man actually got saved. At 23 years of age, he was appointed the financial secretary of Baylor University down there in Waco, Texas. George took them from a $92,000 indebtedness to solvency in only 23 months. He then enrolled as a freshman in the very school he had been the financial secretary of. As a student, he was pastoring in East Waco Baptist Church, and after graduating in 1897 at the age of 30, the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas approached him to become their pastor. He kept refusing this, and they kept persisting. George discovered that they were $12,000 in debt and had no missions budget, but he recognized that in this indebtedness, they weren't going the right direction. And because of his gift with finances, he felt a unique burden. This debt was going to drag down their ministry and their capability to do things for God. And he felt like he was uniquely qualified to help them with this. And so he agreed that I'll become your pastor if you'll let me attack this debt and get a missions budget going, as well as a benevolent fund. They agreed, and with Pastor Truett at the helm, the debt began to shrink, and the attendance began to grow. And by the time, over the years, they gave millions of dollars to missions. To hear him speak was one of the most memorable things. The way he, again, pronounced things was very careful and very disciplined with how he spoke. His voice was extremely memorable for its pathos and the sorrow found within. God used him to call countless sinners to repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. But it wasn't always that way. His voice had been known for being full of confidence and exuberance. He was a large man and knew how to take full advantage of his height and personal strength of character. He sought always to speak with authority and firm conviction. And it wasn't pride that caused him to choose the very best words and to enunciate them clearly. It was the importance that he felt of the message he proclaimed. His sincerity and obvious discipline, combined with spiritual and vocal power of the truths that he expounded, and all of this enabled him to hold large crowds spellbound for extended periods of time. So what transformed him from a man of exuberance and authority to this man with the special pathos he possessed? Something transformed his life. It was February of 1898. And here he is, he's the pastor. It seems like his whole life, the world is at his feet. Everything he does seems to be highly successful. He's out quail hunting with, again, this kind of gives you the idea of his degree of influence. He's out with the chief of police of Dallas, Captain J.C. Arnold, formerly a captain in the Texas Rangers, along with George W. Baines, another fellow Baptist preacher. And as they're heading, they love to quail hunt, as they're heading back to the house after some hunting, Truett shifted his hammerless shotgun from one hand to the other, and somehow in just the movement, his hammerless shotgun went off, and the bird shot struck the right calf of the chief of police. And at first, it seemed like a minor wound. The captain tried to reassure him, oh, it's nothing. I'll be patched up and be good as new. And of course, you don't know if that's, you know, he's extra tough having been in the Texas Rangers and all that. You know, his legs dangling there or whatever. But it didn't seem like it was that bad. And he's assuring him, this will be fine. But Truett was in an unspeakable agony of heart, almost seeming to have a premonition that this was going to be more serious than it seemed. After Captain Arnold arrived at the hospital, the doctors and nurses assured everyone that all would be well. But as these things sometimes go, the situation went from not so bad to worse. A blood clot apparently dislodged and found its way to his heart and ended up taking the captain's life. And this was almost too much for George to handle. He was filled with great suffering and self-condemnation for what his carelessness had caused. You can imagine, he had always been a very disciplined man, a very careful man. And he made sure of these things, and it always brought him this success. And this one moment of carelessness in his mind took a man's life. It had affected him horribly. He vowed to his wife, he said, I won't be able to ever get behind the pulpit again. As Sunday drew near, he paced back and forth in his house, and a verse from Psalm 31, my times are in thy hands, kept coming to him when David was in distress. Finally, he fell asleep from sheer exhaustion, and in his sleep, he dreamed that the Lord Jesus was beside him saying, be not afraid, you are my man from now on. It was like this strong, intelligent man was going to be used of God mightily, but before that could happen, he was going to have to go through a special breaking. If you study scripture, you find over and again that God loves to use broken things. That night, his entire life and ministry were transformed. The next day, he did re-enter his pulpit, and with drawn face and sad eyes, he preached. Great sorrow had changed him. His bitter experience allowed him to draw close to the heart of the Savior who had suffered for us. And then from that place, he was able to reach into the very hearts of his listeners. They said he had a wonderful sense of humor, but it kind of went away when he was preaching. The seriousness of what he had to say changed him. But instead of pushing people away, his compassion drew people in. During the 47 years of pastoring at the Baptist Church there in Dallas, more than 20,000 were added, and it became the largest church in the world for a time. It was said of him that before this terrible time, George was gifted, eloquent, incisive, and erudite. After this incident, these things continued, but with a special new power of a pastoral sensitivity and empathy. Many spoke of a hush of holiness that would come over the place when he preached. This time of suffering turned his ministry from a great one into a glorious one. And I was thinking, it's almost like here was a man doing great things for God, but God wanted to take him to another level. And instead of him doing great things for God, God wanted to say, how about I do the great things through you? Catch that difference there. Some closing details. Many believe his greatest address was delivered May of 1920 when he preached from the steps of the United States Capitol in Washington, D.C., where many presidents have delivered their inaugural addresses. Standing before him that day were Supreme Court justices, senators, ambassadors, cabinet members, and other federal leaders, along with a vast audience besides. For 90 minutes, he held them spellbound as he spoke on the importance of religious liberty in Baptist doctrine. In Texas, he got to thinking about the cowboys that would be on these long cattle drives. And they were separated from society for a while. And he said, well, they might be separated from society, but I don't want them to be separated from God. So he would actually take 2 or 3 weeks each year for 37 years and go on the drive with them to some degree and preach to them these cowboy meetings. And that was kind of interesting. He was also appointed by President Wilson to preach to the Allied Expeditionary Forces in Europe during World War I. He preached over 17,000 sermons, often in many countries around the world. And with all of this success, you think, boy, I bet you with that giant church, he drew a sizable paycheck. Someone who knew him quite well wrote that he was often giving all of his money away, almost down to the last penny. He'd get some more and give that away too. One time he was overhearing that somebody was having a funeral, and this other person gave money to defray some of the costs of that funeral. And George Truett, boy, he really thought about that for a moment. And he said, that is what money is for. And that is all that money is for. It's kind of interesting. He was so disinterested with worldly goods that the church built him a home and almost had to force him to live in it. He was a man of great self-sacrifice. He said, to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge, and to do the will of God, the greatest achievement. And for him, those weren't just pretty words that sound good behind a pulpit. He lived them. Many referred to him as the greatest orator of his day, calling him a second Spurgeon. He went home to be with the Lord in 1944. So again, we praise God for these 50 Baptists we've been studying about, and hopefully their testimonies will be inspiring to us.